Hey everyone, thank you for choosing Blurred of Mouth Podcast. Make sure to stick around to the end to hear some extra words on how to support us.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all like really complicated and difficult. CJ, how is it doing all the legwork for the podcast? Because I sure don't do anything but for myself. Hey everyone, welcome to Blurred of Mouth Podcast, where black nerds talk black nerd shit. I'm one of your hosts, Oleander.
And I'm your other host, CJ.
And today is one of our special guest episodes, known as Blurred of the Hour, and we have our Blurred here to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm John Perry. You can find me on Twitter, Sleepy, S-L-E-Y-P-Y. I'm primarily a podcaster. I'm on the Redacted Files podcast, Wasteland Blues podcast, and I occasionally stream with Vibrant Legends on the Dicey Amazon stream channel on Twitch.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Dicey Amazon's candy will be here soon. But, you know, guests won't know who that is yet, but they're going to get to know you today, and that's all that matters, truly, in my heart of hearts, my heart of the cards that exists only in my body and nowhere else.
You're just saying words right now.
I am just saying words right now. Okay, all right, it's early for me. Well, it's not that early for me. I actually get up a lot earlier. I just, my body has decided that I am not in control of my own sleep destiny.
That's fair.
And you know who is? And yeah, literally, it hurts. It hurts seeing other people have dreams.
Are hopes okay at least?
You know, that's a good punchline.
Thanks, Oleander. I like to think hopes are okay. As long as they don't conflict with my hopes. So a new energy that I'm channeling on the internet is strong hater energy. And I stand by that all 2022. And I hope all of my listeners out there, all of my black listeners out there, all of people that may not be black out there that are also listening to Blurred of Mouth that have respect for my strong hater energy, I hope you have strong hater energy too.
I mean, hatred is what gets you followers.
Yeah.
I hate how accurate that is.
People love to hate follow and hate click, you know?
No, but yeah. I get it though. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure a third of my followers were for me sending hate messages to Mike Merles. but I was doing it before it was cool.
No. Is that... You know what? Power to you. Strong hater energy, 2022. I'm down with it.
This is the way.
The way.
So the first question we have is a more specific, who are you? Like, how did you get started in this space and so on and so forth, right?
Okay. So I guess what drew me into this space is, like many people, like everyone else, tabletop games. I actually started playing tabletop games way back forever ago when dinosaurs roamed Earth, and with like, and I didn't even actually know what version of D&D I was playing because I got it at a yard sale and it had a box of stuff from like 1E, 2E, and pamphlets from like the very first Dungeons & Dragons stuff, and I thought it was all the same thing, and I bought it because I picked up a monster manual and saw cool pictures and said, I want this box of stuff. And so it kind of evolved from there. And so now I kind of started podcasting purely because someone had announced, we're running this game at the time. They were like, we're going to be playing Dristan Files. And I was just like, yes, I want to do this. It's a podcast. Okay. And so I joined and they were like, oh yeah, we're going to be playing Pathfinder. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll still do it.
Oh, you're bold. That's a bold change of pace. And I love that for you.
Yeah, it was, I was like, it was the best bait and switch. Cause I'm good friends with all the people I played with. The podcast I'm on now are still with a lot of the same people. We started a project with one of the people I met because of that game. It worked out. I just had to suffer Pathfinder for a while, for 45 episodes, but for a little while.
45 episodes?
Yeah, it sounds as painful as I the pain in my voice there. I'm trying to hide mask it, but I don't know if I am.
Oh no! Yeah,
we did the entire Rise of the Rune Lords.
That's so. What was it like? Pathfinder 2E?
No, this is a long. This has been about 9 years ago. So it was 1E, and we were going through Rise of the Rune Lords, and that module goes on forever. Because it takes you from level 1 all the way through to, like, I think level 18 or 19.
Holy hell.
Yeah. Towards the end, we're just making stuff up. Like, literally making stuff up. Like, yeah, you know what? Instead of going to this place, we're going to take an airship and drop all the copper we collected since level 1 down and rain it down onto them. and the GM's like, sounds good.
Suffering
that module's done. Yay.
My God. That's so interesting. I have yet to play Pathfinder, which I think is hilarious for me. Because I hear a lot of mixed things about Pathfinder, and it's just one of those things that I'm like, at some point I'm like, maybe I'll just jump into it.
Yeah, I mean, some people really love it. It's like, I don't hate it. It's just, it has crunch in places where I don't want crunch. And it's inventory. Like, it's like, the moment I have to track what I have inside of a backpack, and whether I have a backpack or not, or whether I have a bandolier, or a pouch, or which one of these things it's in, and it's like, I was like, I don't care at all. And so, that's the biggest part of Pathfinder I didn't care for. Seeing, like, how much gold weighs by the pound. And it was just like, we're not dealing with this, are we? Like, no, okay. Because I was like, I'm not playing this game.
Pathfinder just scares me in general because I've only seen them in, like, the physical books. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of tabletop games digitally. And so when I saw the physical book to Pathfinder, I was like, oh, that's a big book. And I can't look at physical books. They scare me.
Yeah, I have that book. It is daunting to look at. Like, so, but I've also played Mage 20, which that book is daunting to look at. And once you open it and see the purple prose and be like, literally using purple text for the purple prose. And I'm sitting here like, man, they said, all you colorblind people, we don't want you to play our game.
Oh my God.
But I've played pretty much every version of D&D. Primarily, it's been 4th edition and 5th edition. But I've played an entire campaign of 3rd edition, a couple of modules in 2nd and 1st edition. And I guess Pathfinder to me is just 3rd edition with a set of house rules. And I'm currently in a campaign for Pathfinder 2nd edition. And I say that to say that is the game I play the least. And that's how much time I've invested in it, because I play the games I could find. And for the longest time, D&D and Pathfinder was what was available. So I've played a lot of it. But right now, like, playing a lot of Fate, a lot of Forged in the Dark, Powered by the Apocalypse, and Cypher System.
I really enjoy both Powered by the Apocalypse and the Cypher System. They're fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually one of the projects I'm working on now and is involving a Cypher System thing. Because I do stuff online, but I think I do more stuff in the local community, because here where I live, there's a lot of tabletop being played. Like, I'm part of an organization that has over 1,000 members.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I'm part of another organization that probably has around 100 or so members. So it ends up me getting into the part of the organizer of events and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I show ran a thing. We have a concept called in RTR, it's Raleigh Tabletop Role Playing. We have this concept called semi-organized play. And basically what it is it's semi-organized because, yes, we have multiple tables, but the story kind of gets made as we go. Like, we have an overarching thing, but effectively we get GMs we divide up the sessions between the GMs that are there. And every week we're like, this is the information we want to pass to the players. Do whatever else you want. As long as you stay within this theme, we make sure the players get this bit of information, run with whatever I do. And we kind of just, that's why it's semi-organized, because it's like, yes, we have a framework. We have a few things that we're going to use to try to tie them together, but it's whatever you're inspired, whatever story you're inspired to tell, it's just going to be in this shared setting. And so it's very interesting. It's very fun.
That's awesome. That's like free roam adventure league, adventurers league.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of, it's some sort of game that I see people always bring up that's a hex crawl. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know. It's like, it's basically, it's kind of player driven. Mm. Like there is a story being told by the GM, but what happens and what the characters do, we kind of pull from that for future settings, like try to future settings. So we try to take those things, the characters that play got into, and try to drag those along so that the thing, like, they all seem connected, because you don't have to do very much to connect several stories. Like, stories can be very different and still be connected. It doesn't take a whole lot. It seems like, I mean, it's, as a player, it seems like it's a whole lot, but as a GM, I'm saying, it's like, you don't have to do very much to keep things connected. Like, it's easy to make mistakes by, because you don't know everything that happened at every table. But if you sprinkle some of the things that happened in the previous session in this session, and you sprinkle some of the things that are going to happen in the next session in a earlier session, you can tie things together with, like, not a lot of effort, and people have a lot of space to do what they want. But yeah, it's like Adventure League if it were player driven.
I feel like if there's anything to learn from Marvel, sometimes connecting stories is just saying, oh yeah, this character knows someone that another character knows in this other story, and sometimes that's enough.
Like, oh, I walked past a TV and it was talking about how Captain America threw a shield at this dude. Oh, nice, we're in the same universe.
No, literally,
sometimes it's just set dressing. Right.
Literally, it's like, oh, you're reading the paper that giant aliens are attacking New York. It's a good thing you live in LA. Just absolutely simple, ridiculous things, and I love it.
Yep, and yeah, so it's a lot of fun. It's like it's more effort than Adventure League, because you know you don't have a module that's to run from, and you're effectively getting people to make up sessions. But we also try to get more GMs than you would have for Adventure League. So say it's like most of the time it's 6 weeks, two tables per week, and we space about every other week. And if for that many people, we want a minimum of four GMs, because burnout can happen real quick if you have people having to come up on the fly. Effectively, every 2 weeks you have to come up with a story that somehow ties in with the overall story and ties in with what happened last week and needs to tie in what happens next week. So we try to have at least four minimum, but five or six, however many we can get, really, and we want to do that. And so that really makes it fun. So for me, I'm working on a cipher system game where I've kind of homebrewed together several of the cipher settings into like a story, and kind of just using stuff that came directly from the book, because The Strange is like my favorite setting of all the cipher systems. And it's kind of that catch-all where, like, oh, there's recursions, you go to this place and this world mirrors ours, but it's not really the same. But then this other place mirrors our world, but it's not really the same. It could be this one aspect, like, you can go to, this is the Disney recursion, where everyone here is a Disney character. And you could go to, like, oh, this is the Grim Tell place. And then, oh, this is the existential horror place. Or, like, oh, this is the microbial place, and you are now a microbe going through. It's just like anything you can imagine, it can exist in The Strange. And so that is really something that I like the thing. I like offbeat things. I like things that's like have any, it's like, it's so far afield from reality that it's sometimes hard to fully comprehend it. And I'm like, yes, that is where I want to be in that place where you're as much thought or ideal as it is a physical representation of a thing, like a surreal place.
So it sounds like you do a lot of like genre hopping. Mm-hmm. So like, what's your favorite genre to get to play or GM in?
Okay, I think my favorite would be like, it's usually even from modern to sci-fi. I really like cyberpunk. That'll probably be the biggest thing, but it has to have that fighting the man thing. Because like biggest thing I don't like about steampunk is it seems like everyone's playing the oppressor, kind of. But in cyberpunk, you're playing the people who's like, society sucks, so I'm not going to be part of it. And that's something I really enjoy. What I've grown to enjoy just from having found a setting in Fate is taking superheroes and doing that. Like, because this is a setting called Worlds of Fate Venture City, where effectively corporations have done all the experimentation and have discovered how being a superhero worked, the genes, they can like create their own like superheroes. And so people who are just born with superpowers are considered outcast or criminals. Like it's literally a crime to be born with a superpower. And so, but being those people with powers, you still want to make the place you live at and the people around you, you want to make life better. So you have, you're going against the whole, effectively every, you using your superpowers is a crime, but that doesn't stop these criminals from, you know, ruining your neighborhood. You have to, those corporate superheroes aren't going to do anything because it doesn't give them enough PR. It's not worth it. So you're effectively having to take matters into your own hands.
I love stuff like that.
It's probably, yeah.
Milestone Comics is currently putting out their new Icon and Rocket stuff, and it's fun to see like Icon saving people in the neighborhood, and then like when the reporters or the police come by to ask who the black superhero is, everyone in the neighborhood is like, nah, we don't know nothing about them, to protect the superhero that protects them. And I love that stuff so much.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's like my favorite thing that I try to put things around so people don't notice is to take like Breaking and Breaking 2 and like wrap that right. Oh yeah, you're effectively you're saving the community center, but you're a superhero. and all the problems are suddenly have superpowers attached to them. But yeah, this is just me like having enjoyed watching Breaking and Breaking 2 and wrap the story around it and try to pretend like it wasn't that.
I think the funnest thing to do when you're GMing is to steal things from other movies that you've watched and see if anyone notices.
Yeah, that's it's like when I was running Call of Cthulhu, I didn't really use a lot of H.P. Lovecraft things. What I used is I would just in everyday life, if I saw something that looked like this thing in no way can possibly be scary, but what if it was? What would I have to do to make this thing scary? So I was driving by a car dealership, and you know those little those loon dancer things that are we have up. I was just like, how can I make this horrifying?
Oh no!
And it turned out you can make it real horrifying if you put your mind to it.
I can't imagine being pursued by an inflatable tube man.
Inflatable arm tube man trying to eat your flesh.
So it's like taking that and then trying to take another idea and smash them together, because like with the balloon tube man, I was just like, there's a Quippo, which is a knot calendar that was used in South America for counting and keep taking time. I was like, what if they were wrong like that because they are made out of the strings of this one of those rope calendars, and in fact those rope calendars was an actual artifact, and so it was a person that was elongated by the rope calendar, because they found that it wasn't a calendar, it was a mechanism for time travel, except for man wasn't meant to travel like this, so as they were being pulled through time they got stretched.
That's horrifying.
That's good. Yeah, I was literally about to say horrific.
Yeah, and so having someone who's effectively irreparably changed that just happens to be long and stringy, it suddenly becomes horrifying when you see that, especially like coming up with ways of like, how does that time travel look? How does their going from one place to the other look? And that was, I think that was probably one of my most fun sessions to run in Call of Cthulhu.
That's so cool. I don't have a whole lot of like Call of Cthulhu experience, nor Cypher System, which is funny because I play a lot of games and yet somehow I never get all the ones that I want.
It's impossible.
There's too many games out there.
Right? You can say that, but I will be built different. I will reach my goal of playing every game that I want. And unfortunately, now that you've told me about another game, I have to add it to the list. But nonetheless.
Well, I'll say this. Like, I counted up all the games I played like right after COVID hit, that year, like 2000. In that year, I had played 43 different games, and I have not even scratched the surface on all the games that are out there to be played. Not even up close.
That's
a lot of games. I can't imagine having played that many games.
Yeah, it's mostly because at the time I was on about 3 podcasts and streaming, and almost all of them were, we run this game one time. And so between all the various things and then any of the home games and pickup things, I played 43. I didn't think the number was going to be that big until I start writing them down. And I was just like, you know what? Maybe I played too much. Maybe that's a problem.
I've only played like, I think, 7 or 8 games since the start of COVID.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So I have a game night weekly every Monday. So I clear my schedule and I go play with some buds in Delaware, and we just kind of play different, literally random. Like one day it was Wander Home, another week they're playing Sleepaway, and then sometimes we play board games. And it's like it's pretty easy to get some games in, and yet I'm insatiable, and I still I created a Google form that I still haven't put on the internet yet for me to schedule more games. Because there's just so many creative and wonderful things out there that I need to, I need them all. At least all the ones that I want. Not all the ones in existence. That's too much greed.
Yeah, it's not even possible. I don't think you have to play multiple games at the same time. Like, we're gonna play Lasers and Feelings, Crash Panda, and Mutants in the Night at the same time.
I hear you hear too much. I hear efficiency.
I mean, God. I suppose you could make it work.
Hey, it is what it is. As long as you get like majority of the mechanics in, you can say that you've played them. Because here's the thing, like with most games, we leave out a few mechanics that maybe don't work, or you amend something. So like if you get like 75% of the mechanics, smash them all together in one game, I would in good confidence say that you could say that you've played all of them.
You can pass with a 75, so I think that works.
I think it works. It's like, all right, it's time to play Lasers, Pandas, and
in the Night.
In the night. Oh my god, what's that? Is that a new game? It's like, nah.
It's three games.
You heard of them?
It's like, no.
It's like people barely have heard of most indie games. You want me to play 3 of them mashed up? And it's like, yeah.
Yep.
Might as well.
It's like, why not?
What's that audio? Where you get the thing? John bought it? Where you really get it? Johnny Dank? It just appeared in my mind for some reason. I got nothing. I have no explanations.
I have that happen all the time. But like someone says one thing and for some reason something that happened 20 years ago pops in my head that seems completely unrelated, but somehow they said something that made me jump immediately to that.
Flashbacks.
Yep.
I think as humans we need to move more into flashback territory. I think we need to speak as if like, that's so Raven, I just had a vision style.
Right. Or aside, like if you step to the side, you can't hold anything against that person while they're stepped to the side because it's to the side.
Yeah.
So exactly. No matter what they say, You have to pretend like you didn't hear it.
Yep, exactly.
It always kills me when I'm like reading like an old Shakespeare play and someone just and it says like in parentheses aside and they say something absolutely foul.
Right.
And I'm like, he's right there.
He's right there. They didn't hear that. He's just talking menacingly.
And they're like, but it says aside.
Mm-hmm. Aside, you can't hold it against me.
Hey, if you heard this, that's on you.
It's like, oh, if I say psych, I'm just kidding at the end of it, no matter what horrible thing I said, no. Doesn't count.
No.
That's how it works, right?
Nah, that's rules.
That's rules. Rules is written.
What's a life? Oh my god, that's good.
What is a thing that you're doing recently that you find yourself proud of?
That you can talk about.
I
can talk about. Well, I think the biggest thing is having started the Fallout AP, because this will be the first time where I am a primary creator of a thing instead of me being joining a thing. So with Wasteland Blues Cast, it's three of us who put this together. Worked out all the details, came out how we're going to do everything, wrote up documents so that we can remember how we said we were going to do things, and got the ball rolling and got it started on time, because we want to have it on the last war, and it happens October 23rd, because that's when the Great War happens in Fallout. And we want to release this on October 23rd, and we're going to do whatever we have to do to make sure that that first release comes out on that day. And it's been a really fun ride, because we were just learning the rules, because we were just got access to the rules. So we were kind of learning it during the first few sessions. But I've never had to do all the legwork of getting a podcast, putting a podcast somewhere, then getting it on Apple and Google and all the various places, and having them in lists where people go to look for podcasts. It's like, I just had to show up and be reasonably amusing. Now I have to do all the hard work now.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all like really complicated and difficult. CJ, how is it doing all the legwork?
Okay. Oh god. Hi.
I sure
audience.
Don't do anything but bring myself.
I like to think that I'm kind and I don't reveal the secrets of the mouth. That's funny. That's good. The secrets of the mouth.
Put that on a shirt.
Secrets of the mouth. Put that on a fucking shirt. So like when I'm messaging people, I do a lot of things for most of the podcasts that I'm doing, because I'm just an absolute freak. So like when I'm messaging people, I don't tell them, like, they don't know it's me. I like to keep the shroud. I always say like we and us and like one of and
like a secret society of one.
it's literally a secret society of one, and I like and I'm like operating behind the shadows, like at my keyboard.
Attention to the curtain.
Literally, like the curtain's literally like almost see through. Like if someone even like does a little bit of digging, they can see that it's me at 3 a.m. Doing a bunch of calendars for no reason, and then like spurring into ideas that I've had for no goddamn reason about podcasts that maybe don't need to exist. And you know what? Doesn't fucking matter, because I'm still gonna do it.
Right. It's like, it's weird how I get, they always post on Discord around the same time they send me the DM. It's almost like they're doing it all at one time. Like, is that just a coincidence?
Is it? Is it a coincidence? I think it is a coincidence.
Meanwhile, I'm just here, like, occasionally, once every few weeks, I post a meme on the Twitter and then show up to the recordings.
See, you're doing it right. That's where I was. It was nice there.
God, literally, all I ask from my wonderful whatever those things are called that follow me into battle, is that they show up and they
don't even have names. My unnamed minions.
They name themselves.
Name yourself. I don't care.
I do not give that power. That power is yours for the taking. Yeah, just ride into battle. I'll do it. Or, no shame. I forgot a lot
there,
of things.
In a snap. This is your name. You there.
What's your name?
There's two snaps when I before I point to you.
No. I mostly because I don't know words. I actually like if it come soldiers, warriors, podcasters, my voice warriors. As long as the voice warriors show up and say, you know what, we're feeling all right today. We can get something done.
Like when me and my crew.
Period. Me and the crew, baby. Yeah. I think we still got a good amount of time left. Now it's time to get into the weird questions that like only matter in the wee hours of your thoughts. Okay. Like, what type of kitchen utensil would you be?
Okay, that's a good question. I think I would be a spatula.
Dang, that was too fast. Why?
Because I love hamburgers, and so if I'm gonna be something, I want some be one of those spatulas, like the short handle spatula that you flip. That's perfect for flipping hamburgers.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. See, I'm noticing that your desires are showing up in there, and I love that. But I want to know functionality, flatness, use, look, style.
Wooden handle. It would be a wooden handle.
Okay. Wooden handle. Yep. Sturdy.
Yeah, sturdy.
Brown.
Like if someone broke in your house, you could use it as a weapon.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, okay. I'll flip this dude right out my house while multi? I shank him with it.
Oh, my multi-use. God. Multi-versatile. All right. Multi-use, versatile.
You flip a hamburger, like, you know, protect your home, and you go back to flipping hamburgers.
That's energy. I like to think that's the tool embodiment of code switching.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, my God.
What is a superpower that you would enjoy having?
Yeah, we got him stumped.
It's like trying to narrow the list down, right? Because like typically,
there's a lot of good powers.
There's a lot of.
It's goodness. Like I hear powers, but I always see myself as like the mad scientist person. So I guess like the super intelligence, but you know, it's never intelligence in a useful thing. It's like it's almost like I'm super. It's more a super obsession, like Batman, but in like some. One general aspect, because like every character I make usually ends up being like this. Like I had a character when I was playing Cypher System, and he ran a marijuana co-op, and so all his knowledge was in like biology and that sort of thing, but he was also like selling drugs at the same time. So literally he would make alchemy potions, but then if he saw someone else making alchemy potions, he would shut them down because he couldn't help himself. And he was super upbeat and always sound cheery, but he was just like, wait, what? Like, it's time to stop, drop it, open up shop.
that's energy. That's strong hater energy. That's strong toxic energy. And I love it. I'm here for it, baby.
So if being obsessive compulsive as a superpower, that would be the superpower. What,
you know, a good hyperfixation really gets the blood flowing. That's my stance.
Yeah,
it's like how the Riddler is a genius but only with riddles,
right? Exactly. But he's the most dangerous person with using riddles. It's just like you've somehow put yourself on the same level as all these people who can like pick up cars and throwing them for your sheer like of riddles.
That's you gotta respect a man on his grind.
The Riddler saw the Flash and was like, ah, someone who can punch at Mach 7. I got a riddle for him.
Right? Let's see you punch this question.
Literally. Yeah, they pulled up to the Riddler's house and said, yo, we're here to kick your ass. And he said, why don't you can't kick these riddles. Why don't you get some bitches?
You're gonna have to run back in time so you can think more about this shit.
Said the Riddler, probably.
God. I love characters like that, just like with the hyper specific powers mm-hmm. or abilities.
Yeah, except for the Condiment King. That's a silly.
Yeah, that one's a bit. That one's y'all a bit
leave,
much.
Y'all leave Condiment King out of this. Don't make me. I'll bring Aurora in here.
I do love the Eraser, who's a Batman villain, whose whole thing is, I'm just really good at erasing evidence, and that's my only thing.
Right.
And he dresses like a pencil, and I'm like, you do you.
He's making a living. It's like, I feel like some of these powers, I was like, you could make a good living not doing crime with this power.
You see what you're doing. Like, why don't you put this energy into a job?
Right? You could be like a criminal support. Like, that's a job. Criminals would pay you because effing Batman's alive. I need someone to cover this stuff up. Okay, yeah. Like, I could work for $60 an hour and clean up this for you. Batman will never find you.
I was literally just talking with a friend the other day about how Taskmaster has the ability to just look at anything and know how to do it. And I'm like, and you chose to be a killer?
Right.
You can like watch a Bruce Lee movie and now you know how to do all of Bruce Lee's martial arts and you chose to go kill people with that?
Right. It's just like, man, you could have just watched somebody make it who makes a lot of money and then do that.
Yeah. Why? Just watch Gordon Ramsay cook for like 30 minutes and now you're the world's greatest chef. Come right? on.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like, that's what's great. It's that fixation is what limits them. And it's like, you have unbound power. Oh, almost unbound. You only use ketchup.
I see no problem. I don't know what y'all talking about. That's energy.
Right?
Taskmaster. Stay on your hustle, Condiment. Stay on your hustle, King. Literally, not metaphorically.
Taskmaster really was like, I can watch the Olympics and learn all of those skills in a day. But you know what? I'm choosing to go fight Captain America tonight instead.
Right? You can just win all those events and get like a commercial, like a he sponsorship, and never have to do nothing. Be on cereal boxes. I will eat some Taskmaster cereal.
He's just truly just a hater.
Y'all thinking too little. They out here trying to go to sleep hoping that they wake up and they are dead. Just like Eddie Brock in the mid 2000 Spider-Man movie. Before he knew that he was Spider-Man, he said, "I hope you die, bitch."
Just evil.
I don't want to see you alive tomorrow. You're a normal guy. I don't want to see you alive. God. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That was like Taskmaster flakes. I could have used a bowl right now.
I could, for real. Like cornflakes? Yeah. They go hard. Mm. It is what it is.
Okay, I guess we should go on. I think I answered that question, I hope.
Don't remember the question. I'm gonna be real.
We got here from what superpower would you want?
And
we
is that what that was? There's no fucking way.
At Taskmaster Flakes.
This literally did sound like a wee hours in the morning conversation.
Blurred of mouth, baby.
This is how we do things.
This is how we do it. Na 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 na.
Speaking of superpowers, I like to do my long-winded segues.
Where you go? What?
Speaking of superpowers, there's a villain that turns people to dinosaurs. If you were to be turned into a dinosaur, what kind of dinosaur would you want to be?
How did you? That is such a fucking reach.
I know too many things, and you so do. I can segue a lot.
Didn't you bring up the guy that's like? Have you brought up the guy already?
I have brought up the guy who turns people to dinosaurs in previous episodes.
Like, it's like, hey, bro, you don't have to do this. You could literally just save the world. I don't want to save the world. I want to turn people into dinosaurs. Strong hater energy, baby.
That was in a Spider-Man comic.
It's not even hater. That's like positive. Like, who wouldn't want to be? It's like the thing is, he should have had people paying him. To turn them into dinosaurs. That's the problem.
Can he turn them back?
Who wants to come back?
You know what? That's fair.
Once you're a pterodactyl, what the fuck do you want to be human for?
So what dinosaur would you want to be?
An Ankylosaurus.
Dang, you get these answers quick. You are so
you've thought about this before.
You know things faster than I ever will.
I like you. I don't sleep, and therefore I have to think about something. Damn.
You have my respect, John.
It's like, if you want to choose another genus, I probably have an answer for that too.
Dang.
This has been a very fun episode of Blurred Your Mouth.
This is good. We're very happy to have you. We're at the, I'm not going to say real numbers because I edit these down, but we are at the mark of which that usually ends the episode. So tell the people where they can find you.
Like, once again, John Perry. You can find me on Twitter, SLEYPY. Literally everywhere that you can log into, it's SLEYPY, except Instagram. But it's SLEYPY dot RPG because somebody took my name and I'm not happy about it.
Damn.
Yeah. Besides that, you can find me podcasting with Wasteland Blues Podcast, The Redacted Files. You can also find me on Vibrant Legends on Dice the Amazon's channel on Twitch. And hopefully you'll be finding me in other places soon.
Wonderful. I'm one of your co-hosts, Oleander. You can catch me at Stray Nerd Boy on Twitter, Tumblr, and TikTok.
And I am the voice in the night, the leader among the nameless, the scholastic to your dragon. Hi, everyone. I'm CJ. And I'll probably be your co-host next week. Well, actually, that might not be true because Kes sometimes jumps in this. So I might not be your co-host next week. It is what it is.
That was quite the intro.
It is quite the intro. You got to do a monologue at the end of episode 6. I don't want to hear it.
Monologues are fun.
When do I get my monologue?
Oh man.
Thank you all for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. See everyone. We love you. Go watch something with someone black in it right now. Peace. Hey folks, it's CJ here. First things first, just want to say thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We want to keep making this fun show for you, and for that, we need a few things from you. First off, tell as many people as you can about this show. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your friends, tell your non-toxic exes. We need to spread blurred of mouth through word of mouth. It's what's going to keep us going. And if you want to help us a little bit more, follow us on Twitter at Blurred of Mouth Pod. That's BLERDOFMOUTH POD. And lastly, if you want to help us, if you want to stay engaged with us, you can use our hashtag on Twitter, HeyBomp. That's HeyBomp. Hey, Blurred of Mouth Pod. Easy, right? Stay engaged with us. You can interact with us outside of the show. Send us questions, send us comments, send us funky memes, and maybe even send us what movie you want to see us rate. Well, character, I should say. Thanks. See you next time.